Blog Talk Radio.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, you're on up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." The devil opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, let your dog bite, no child, no." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granny, will you don't fight, no child, no."
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Imploding the Illusion. I'm your host, Raquel Okai, and my special guest tonight is Dr. Jeffrey Bloom. He is an expert in mediation conflict resolution. He is a speaker and a trainer, and I came across him basically on Facebook, and I really like the things that you've been talking about on your page, and I certainly want my listeners to get to know you a little bit and know what you're doing in family court resolutions and things like that. So welcome to the program. I'm glad to have you, Jeffrey. You are definitely on live. You might have your phone muted. There you go. I hear you. Jeffrey. Okay. Maybe I can't hear you. I'm pretty sure the folks can hear me. I do have some other callers on the line as well. If you want could do me a favor if one of you all would just press number one and that would let me know that you could hear me. Okay. All right. 631. Thank you. That means you can hear me. That's awesome. Dr. Bloom, I'm having a problem hearing you. I don't know if it's the sound on your end, but what I'd like you, okay. What I'd like you to do is just, Dr. Bloom? Yeah, I'm having it. I don't hear you at all. So what I'd like you to do is just hang up and call back. Hang up, call back, and we'll try to work this out again. Maybe your microphone's not on or something's going on. Okay, he did hang up. Okay, awesome. Thanks for letting me know, guys, that you can hear me. I appreciate that. You're listening to Imploding the Illusion. I'm your host, Raquel Oki. We are sponsored by Wynn World Integrity News Network. And if you're listening online and you have a question or comment for our guest, Dr. Bloom, please call in at 646-787-8638. Again, that's 646-787-8638. And when you get in, just dial one, and that'll let me know that you want to get in on the conversation. And I'm just waiting for Dr. Bloom to call back. And in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and bring on last four digits of your number is 8545, and you're live.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Rochelle. This is Michael Ray Sudam, Jr.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
How are you? I'm doing fine. How are you?
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. I didn't catch your name, though.
Michael Ray Sudam, Jr.
Okay. You're a Facebook friend of mine.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I'm
glad to have you on. We do have our guest who has called in, and I want to give him a chance to open up the program, and then I'll bring you on for if you have any questions or comments.
Yeah,
sounds good to me. Yes, go ahead.
Just one moment, please. Look, I'm picking a new fight with the left. This abortion crap between New Mexico, Virginia, I think Massachusetts, New York, it's just getting out of hand. So what I'm doing is I'm contacting my House representatives, Mike Johnson, which is in my district, and I plan on having some meetings with the Senate. I've contacted the Right to Life. We don't have a chapter here in Beauregard Parish. I'm in Louisiana. So what I'm in the process of doing is I'm contacting these people. I'm waiting on some information to start this chapter. But what I'm looking for is anybody that can help me and give me a little guidance, some information would be highly appreciated. They can find me on Facebook under Michael Ray Sudam, Jr. Any help, appreciated.
I'm gonna definitely help you out and reach out to you separately, Michael, because I used to be on the board of directors of New York State Right to Life. I did that for 10 years, and we were an affiliate for National Right to Life.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm very familiar with the chapters, and I'm also very disgusted by what's going on in those same states you mentioned, New Mexico, Virginia, New York, also
yeah,
Rhode Island.
Vermont is another one. My
yeah.
parents did this back in the 70s when I was a child. They're up there in their 70s now. So what I'm doing is I'm going to pick up this fight. I'm going to start, you know, on a parish level. I plan on getting to state, but I'm going to move this as far as I can. I like to get involved in the national level because this is getting out of hand. It's appalling. It's ridiculous. But any help would be appreciated. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in again. Okay. I do have our guest caller back on. Dr. Bloom, I'm putting you on live now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Welcome
well,
to the show.
I called on a different phone. I don't know if it was a phone or not, but I'm on my cell now, so hopefully I don't lose your signal. But it's not doctor. I do have a juris doctorate, but it's not doctor. It's just Dr. Bloom.
Okay. I thought, even my father has a PhD. He's deceased now, but my father had a PhD in fine arts.
I have a PhD.
And I always, I always refer to him as doctor.
No problem.
That's why. So even though he wasn't a medical doctor. But okay, really, really fascinated on the things that you're doing, Jeffrey. It seemed like your work involves some motivational speaking, some interaction, mediation, conflict resolution, and it's a difficult topic, and it seems like you have some good strategies out there, and I wanted you to come on the show and share those strategies with us.
Okay, sure. Which topic do you want to talk about first?
Well, first, can you give us just a little bit of background about yourself, and then what is it that you're doing the most? Like, I'm curious in the mediation, the conflict resolution stuff. What kind of success are you having? What kind of strategies are you using?
Okay, well, I'm a mediator, conflict resolution specialist. That's my my main thing that I do. The bulk of my practice is family and divorce issues. So it could be pre-divorce, post-divorce, or couples going through a divorce. And what I do is I basically provide the parties with a more amicable way of resolving the issues. So nobody knows what's best for the children, what's best for their assets, and what it takes moving forward than the two parties. Going through litigation, spending all your time, money, and your sanity at the end to come up with something that doesn't work for one or both parties, it's ridiculous. So I have the couple, in the same room with me, and I help them go through a checklist basically, and I just go over all the issues and what they are, and who's the residential parent, and what happens with the marital home, and what happens with the assets and the retirement plans or 401ks, and they most of the time they'll be able to decide who gets what, and there's some negotiating going on, and everything that goes into the final agreement, everything goes to the final divorce papers, is what they want, not what somebody tells them what to do. In the court system, the family court system is broken. The statement in the best interest of the children is just a statement in the courts. In mediation, I take that very seriously. And pretty much like really the Reader's Digest version of what I do.
Are there a lot of people out there like you? Seems like a good service needed.
Yeah. The biggest challenge in the mediation field is a lot of people don't know that that's an option. They get a lot of misinformation. Attorneys will tell them, no, they got to fight for what they're entitled to. And I promise you this and I promise you that. And it's just not realistic. So I get people who tell me every day almost, where were you 10, 15, 20 years ago when I lost, all my money? Somebody told me many years ago, if I had killed my wife, I'd have been out of jail by now. It's just horror stories. People spending, I know one lady, she went through a divorce, she had like three sons, and the divorce went on for about 7 years. And they not only had to sell their home to pay their attorneys, but they depleted their children's education funds for college just to pay their attorneys. And to come up at the end.
Have you seen the documentary Divorce Court?
Yep, I have it. I have the movie. I use parts of it in my training. Anybody who hasn't seen it, you have to watch it. Divorce Court. It's crazy to know what goes on, what really goes on in divorce court and the litigation system. Some people, divorces last longer, the process lasts longer than their actual marriage.
Yeah, I heard that too. I've been covering stories and also radio programs regarding the family court corruption that goes on. And I similarly have heard some really wild stories. So we're talking about cases that are caught up in litigation for decades. The children are now grown, they're adults, and the divorce still hasn't been hammered out. Yet all of their savings, all of their income, everything that they have gone to paying for attorney fees. It just seems like it's a big game, And it's so unfortunate because people go in there so unassuming. So they go in there thinking they're going to get a divorce out of this whole big thing. But what they do is they get dragged through this litigation. So that's why your service is so important. I mean, it's so bad that, I mean, it's like, you know, battling out over the kids. And like you said, the court's not really interested in the best interest of the kids. It seems like they're just it's interested in making money. So you keep the battling, you know, bickering over dumb things, bringing people back to court time and time again. Big waste of time. So I want to make this clear, and I want you to clarify this for everybody. So it is true that people have this option. So they don't have to hire an attorney. They can hire a professional mediator to make out an amicable, if both parties are in agreement, a professional mediator can work in place of litigation?
Actually, they don't have to have an attorney. I will recommend to the couples, and it's their right, that if they want to have a consulting attorney during the process or a review attorney to review anything they sign at the end, they're certainly free to do that. But no, there's no rule that says you have to have an attorney to get a divorce. It's ridiculous. But attorneys will tell clients that because that's what they do. I mean, they built everything. There's so many stories I could tell you. And where I heard, there was just one today. I had a couple come to me for mediation about a year and a half ago. Didn't work out. He wanted a separation agreement. She just wanted a divorce. So it wasn't a case for mediation. And I guess they've gone through the litigation process, that it was disposed. They decided separation agreement. Now they're ready to get divorced. So her attorney, and he doesn't have one anymore because he ran out of money, said that he would do the divorce for them, a no-fault divorce, of $2,000. So this guy called me, and I said I would do it for $1,000 with all your filing fees. Because it's not that complicated, no full divorce. So I contacted the attorney, let him know that I was going to do that, and that he's free to review on behalf of his client if he wants to. He then said to me, my client doesn't want to spend another dime on lawyer fees, and I have no problem with you doing the papers, but I'm going to charge your client, meaning the guy, the husband, is going to pay me $1,000 to review the no-fault divorce papers. It's all about money for him. That's all it is. So instead of $2,000, he's going to get $1,000. Now the no-fault divorce pleadings is literally, I think if you wrote it by hand, it would take you an hour. So I can't imagine it would take him more than an hour, hour and a half tops to review it. But that wasn't what he wanted to do. So I tried to reason with him. And I said, would you review it for $500? I have review attorneys that review agreements for me that are 30, 40, 50 pages. And they charge anywhere from $500 to $750. And this guy would not budge off $1,000 to review 20-some-odd pages, 15 pages. It's ridiculous. So this is the kind of stuff that goes on. I'm an arbitrator for Nassau County Court. Part 137, attorney-client fee dispute. I've been doing that almost 5 years. All but two cases have been matrimonial, and I've seen these billing, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for a divorce. It's craziness. It's absolute craziness.
Yes, it is. And I want to also share with you, and I've shared this on the program before. So I was a young bride, and I was also divorced young. And I had two sons with my first husband. And we had two sons together. But at the time, I was working for lawyers. So I was a legal secretary. And I had some conversations with a couple of divorce lawyers that happened to be employed at the same building that I was working at. And I got some advice, And what I ended up doing with my first husband was that we literally hired one attorney, which was one of the attorneys that I knew. Really cheap. It was a long time ago. He charged us like $500 plus filing fees. And we literally sat down in the conference room and we just ironed out our stipulation. We agreed on joint custody and that the children sided with me. And there were just some other particulars, like I couldn't move to, you know, certain miles away, or,
right.
you know, we, you know, we just basically sat together in a room, ironed out what we, he basically acted like a mediator. We ironed out what we wanted. Me and my first husband never went to court. The attorney filed the papers, you know, divorce so ordered. I mean, it was really, it was that simple. So when I see, and you know, I mean, I didn't have a lot of assets or anything, but of course we had the kids. And I didn't want to spend, you know, I didn't want to spend a dime on lawyers to figure out an agreement that I could do myself. Because I'm an adult and I can, you know, and I can have an adult conversation with my former spouse and figure out what we think is best for everybody involved. And I feel like, and maybe, and I want to know if you agree or not, it's like, I don't know what goes on with these parents, because they, you know, at some point they were a couple, and then at some point they're not. Okay, I get that. But they become so vitriol inside that family court, you know, where you have the false allegations, you have the orders of protection filed based on just allegations, no proof.
Yep.
You know, a lot of, oftentimes, the dad is, not all the time, but oftentimes it's the dad who gets screwed. Now all of a sudden you have cases where you're like, dad hasn't, there's no evidence of any abuse or neglect, but dad doesn't get the judge orders, dad doesn't get to see the kids, or judge orders that dad visits the kids on such and such days, but mom never brings the kids on such and such days. So mom violates orders. Mom doesn't get held accountable for violating those orders. Like, it's such a disaster. Go ahead.
There are alienation issues happen all the time. There was one case as a doctor on Long Island. He lost his practice. Going through a divorce, they got to a point where he was stressed out, running out of money. He signed a stipulation of settlement he really didn't understand too well. And he was paying, he was ordered to pay, if I remember correctly, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I want to say, like, it was like over $10,000 a month. It was a combination of child support and spousal support. And there came a time in his practice, his medical practice, where business slowed down. So rather than paying $10,000, he was paying like $5,000, $8,000 a month, whatever it was. He was paying most of it, but he couldn't pay all of it. She took him to court because he wasn't paying the right amount, and he went to jail for 6 months for not paying child support. Not only that, but he got out, his practice was pretty much shot to hell, and now he's depressed. I mean, he does some radio shows and TV shows, things like that, and he's, you know, talks about parent alienation because that's another issue with his kids. But the point is, I mean, how ridiculous is that? He's supposed to pay me $10,000. He only paid me $7,000. He paid over six figures by the time she took him to court, and they put him in jail for 6 months. It's not like he was not paying anything, or he refused to pay, or he had the money. So these are the type of things that the litigation system fuels.
Look at all the money they lose by him being in jail for 6 months, all the loss of income.
Guess what happens during those 6 months? The back support accrues while he's there, even though he's not working. It doesn't stop.
So, right.
I mean, this is just one case of many. I mean, if we had, I could tell you cases, I can go on for hours just on cases I've heard and read about and people have told me. It's horrible. There was a well-known mediator who knew a well-known family law attorney I heard at a seminar one time, and he says, I don't take cases from a couple where their assets have to be at least $200,000. And he says, you know, I'm trying to remember numbers now, 150, maybe he said $500,000, something like that. And he says, I'm going to get $125,000, my adversary is going to get $125,000, and the couple's going to be left with what's left, if any. And the mediator said, no, that's a lot of money. How do you know you're going to get that much? He said, simple, all I have to do is create an argument. And that's really what it is, like play on their emotions. You know, you go to an attorney, you're emotional, obviously. The attorney promises you the star, the moon, the sky, and the sun. And they, no attorney, no matter how good he or she is, can guarantee an outcome in court. They can't. But they'll bill you until they get to that point, right? And if you can't pay and you own a home, guess what? There's going to be a lien on your home. So this is something that happens every day in the litigation system, and it's horrible.
When you do get clients and they are, say, both emotional, and then when they get into this, like, you know, the accusations, you know, the critic, like, I think it's like a battle between, like, they're still fighting their marriage, you know, they're still fighting in their marriage or something. How do you address them, like, in a way that, like, to convince them that to be amicable, that it is the right way to go?
Well, one of the myths of mediation is, well, don't we have to agree on everything to come into mediation? And you don't. I've had couples that can't agree what day of the week it is. I've had couples that come in that agree on some things and not others. And I've had maybe a few over the years have come in with a list of everything they agreed on and just wanted me to draw everything up and everything in between. So part of it is letting them kind of talk, you know, and if they're in the same room together and one of the parties or both of the parties are upset about something and they let them, the other party know, while they might not admit that they're wrong or whatever the case may be, they're hearing that person firsthand. So you can't help but, you know, people are human, right? You people have been married for so many years, and in most cases they're not. You know, you're going to have some type of sympathy, even though you may not admit it. But look at it this way. Compare mediation to litigation. Do you remember the in school, the telephone game, when a teacher would write something on a piece of paper, give it to the front of the room, and by the time it got to the other end, it was something totally different?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So that's litigation. You tell your attorney what you want. Your attorney tells his attorney, her attorney. Her attorney tells her what he said. And that's how it goes, because you can't talk to each other anymore once you're both represented by counsel. So you're not getting everything, right? You're in a room together with a neutral third party, me as a mediator. Everything's on the table. You can say anything you want. You go to court, the judge don't want to hear from you, and you don't hear from your attorneys. And if you want to vent something, my husband cheated, or my wife did this, or that's not relevant to the case. I don't want to hear that. But it's relevant to you. So how much better is it to be in a room together and say what's on your mind and move on from there?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
And it's, you, so let's, so if I had to, how long does it take then, like the whole process? If a couple came to you today with a potential, you know, they want to go to mediation with their divorce instead of going through litigation, how long would it take from coming to see you to getting the whole thing resolved, on average?
It all depends, you know, on a couple. The average case is anywhere from 4 to 6 hours in mediation, and then once I file it in the court, anywhere from 4 to 6 months the judge signs a final judgment of divorce. They don't have to appear in court; it's done. So
yeah, that sounds
like
a lot of years and years in court with attorneys and,
yeah,
and the judge not communicating.
Yeah, in New York, if you're both going to attorneys, you're both going to pay anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 or more just for a retainer. And that's not going to be all-inclusive. So let's just say it is inclusive. Let's say you get lucky. There are very few cases. So you both pay a $10,000 retainer, $20,000. Maybe there's a few fees on that. So let's say that's you both pay, you know, $12,000 each, so you're, you know, so that's $24,000 you dissipated in marital assets. Mediation is soup to nuts, costs less than $6,000. Sometimes, very rarely, it's a little bit more than that if you need an expert or a forensic accountant to evaluate certain assets. But 99.99 of my cases all are just less than $6,000 total. Actually, I would say
over 6 months or less. Sure, sounds worth it to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, do you want to pay for your attorney's kids' college fund or your kids' college fund? So that's, you know, it really, really boils down just to that. It really does.
Are they using mediation? I saw Divorce Corp quite a while ago, and what it does is, just for the listeners who haven't seen it, it does give you an overview about how Divorce Corp is, or how divorce is handled in other countries. Without all of this money, I also understand through that documentary that more money flows through family court than any other court, any of the other courts combined. So in America, but it's not the case in other countries, and I wonder if they're using mediation as well.
Yeah, well, there are some states, even in the U.S., where mediation is mandatory as a first step prior to litigating a divorce. Florida is one of the states, I think Tennessee. I'm trying to remember, there's one or two other ones. And as you know, we're both from New York. New York's always the last to do anything anyway. So and just a perfect example of that is no-fault divorce started in 1969. New York became a no-fault divorce state in 2010. So,
yeah, that's right.
So, you know, do the math. It's there's a lot of, you know, a lot of politics, a lot of people afraid they're going to lose, you know, whatever business, and that this was all about the almighty dollar, you know, rather than the people.
Yeah, I just it's very unfortunate, and I do think that the lawyers, you know, fuel the whole thing and keep it going. And that's why it's important not to get caught up in this type of litigation. Could you go ahead and tell the listeners where they could find you if they were interested in using your services?
Sure. My website is mymediationservices.com, or they can call at 516-308-7808. If they're not in New York State, doesn't matter. I do ODR, which is called online dispute resolution. So if you have a computer and a webcam, we could do mediation that way. I could provide a memorandum of understanding, and then they can get something drawn up to get a divorce. If one of the parties, which I've done also on online dispute resolution, one party may be here in New York, the other one somewhere else, that's fine. We can still file it in New York. I could do the mediation. I can get everything done. And there's, you know, do it from the comfort of your home or office. So that's an option that I make available, because not always people are in the same place at the same time, especially if they've been living separate apart for many years and just haven't gotten divorced yet. So, and then also, you know, on our website, there's an FAQ page. There's a lot of information on what mediation is and what it isn't. And I always tell people, be educated. Call a couple attorneys, call a couple mediators. So when you make a decision, you don't say, oh, I wish I had done that 5 or 10 years ago. I didn't know mediation existed. So get everything, all the facts, know what you're entitled to, so you can make an educated decision.
Great advice. Thanks so much, Jeffrey. You're listening to Imploding the Illusion. I'm your host, Raquel Okiai. Thank you for listening in. If you are online and you have a question or comment for Mr. Bloom, please call in at 646-787-8638. Again, that's 646-787-8638. We are WinWorld Integrity News Network production. We do have a couple of callers on the line. If you have a question or comment, you want to get in on the conversation, please press 1 now. Okay, not so far. Again, if you are listening online and you have a question or comment for Mr. Bloom, please call in at 646-787-8638. I really think it's really important to get this information out there because there's so many people caught up in that divorce court. And it's, like you said, instead of saving up for your kids' college, instead of, you know, making a good income as a physician, you know, the men are in jail, the dads are in jail, the family's torn apart, the parental alienation is set in, and it's really such a huge problem. I know that you see it because you're involved as that's what you're doing. I want to know if you have any ideas as to how, on a broader perspective, how can we fix some of these things?
Well, I'm in the development stage of putting together programs to try to prevent alienation, educating couples and our people to know what it is and prevent it. I would like to think that any cases that I've mediated in the 7 years or plus years I've been doing this, apparent alienation is non-existent. and I haven't heard that it happened, but I would like to think that because of the process. That being said, if there's parent alienation already happening, that'd be pretty tough to stop it there, because the parent who's alienating the children, what is their benefit to not do it? So I think by educating people and let them know what it is and the adverse effect it has on the children would really, you know, reduce the chance of this happening. You know, sometimes in a mediation when it gets needed, and like I told you, I put a very emphasis on the best interest of the children, somebody will inevitably say, well, you're not doing that with my son or my daughter. And I'll stop and I'll say, wait a second, you mean Johnny or Mary? And I'll tell them, look, you may not continue to be husband and wife, but you'll always be mom and dad to Johnny and Mary. And I use the children's names as much as possible because it's personal when you do that. So then stuff like that doesn't happen in the litigation process or when you're in court. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, because it puts a faith, you know, puts a faith in name, remind them that they're it's not about, you know, mine. It's about Susie or Mary.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I want to give you an example of one of the cases here in Florida of a dad that he's a St. John's graduate, like myself, and he works as a investigator. He's an investigator, and he has a kid in New York. He moves down to Florida, Orlando area, and you know, wife decides she wants a divorce. Okay, so he's getting, you know, she leaves the marital home, and she's seeing his boy. His boy's small, 1 year old, 2 years old, something like that. And he gets, you know, visitation. Things are going okay. And then, boom, you know, she gets involved with, you know, according to his side of the story, but I've seen a lot of his pleadings too. But really nice guy. Really feel bad for him, because what happens next is she meets somebody else, and that's okay too. But once upon meeting somebody else, she wants somebody else to be daddy. Maybe it's easier for her. Maybe I don't see this part. I don't get with people. Because your dad is your dad. You know, just because you're remarried, you know, doesn't mean new boyfriend becomes daddy. You know,
absolutely.
You know, dad is dad, and it always should be that way. It should never change. So she proceeds to, you know, start alienating the son from dad, biological dad, and then she starts making some wild accusations. And the next thing you know, he's in a litigation for, as long as I've known, it's probably about 7 years now.
Wow.
And it's going on like 5 years that he hasn't seen his son. And of course, he spent all of his money on attorneys, and he's done with money. You know, he's just done paying attorneys. So now he's just doing pro se litigation, but that's another disaster. Because he's so emotional, and he doesn't know, you know, he's not a lawyer, and he gets slammed, you know, by the other side, a team of lawyers. I mean, they're just slamming him. They're burying him in motions, you know. It just feels like he gets nowhere. He starts like a civil rights lawsuit. He writes letters to judges. He writes letters to anybody involved, CPS. Department of Children and Families, everybody, and nowhere. I feel like he gets no help. I mean, he's like suicidal. It's really terrible. I don't even know what advice, you know, what kind of practical advice I can give him except, you know, be a shoulder to cry on at this point.
Yeah, and that story that you just shared is not uncommon to the family court system. I mean, it does. I've heard that. I've heard worse. And it's just what happens. It's just, there's got to be something that puts these type of things to a stop, and these judges need to be aware that that's what's going on. That, you know, and it should be and what happens in these cases, like you said, with the accusation and order protection, and then it turns out 6 months or a year later that the facts for the order protection were made up or false. There's no penalty to the spouse who made the false allegations. It's just crazy. It's just nuts.
And then we also had the issue with, I thought, you know, our laws were such that you couldn't be put in jail for financial debt. You know what I mean?
Yep.
How do they even get away with, because it is financial debt, that they're get, you know, dads are being put in jail. You know, like, it's like dads are being put in jail, and I just don't know how that does anybody any good. It does nobody any good. But moms are, like, standing around clapping. You know, they're like, you lose your, first of all, it's not just about the time spent that you're losing income, but your whole life gets broken apart. So it's like you have plans, you have a schedule, you have a job, you have things you're doing, and just think about being plucked out of your life without any notice, right? You're just plucked out, you're thrown in jail, and everything going on in your life stops. Immediately stops, and there's nothing you could do about it. I mean, this is how lives are destroyed. Over what? Over a divorce case? You know, it blows my mind.
Yep, it happens every day.
Yeah, you know, there's got to be, you know, some solution to all of this. Sometimes, you know, a lot of parents that I know caught up in the system, you know, they reach out to the politicians, their elected officials, and they sort of plead with help. And what I've seen is what happens there is that they pass the buck. There's, oh, well, you have to take that up with the judge, or that's not my purview, or I can't do anything about that. Or, you know, the politicians never want to get involved.
Yeah, unless it's election year, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm a part of a group here in Florida, Jeffrey, called Why Dads Matter. Why Dads Matter.
Okay.
And we prepared a bill that we presented to elected officials across the state, which said that when a judge, or because we have found that a big problem here in Florida is that while judges might order the visitation, when the mom doesn't show up, there's no penalty. So what the law that we were trying to push was that it's like three strikes, you're out. So if you don't show up on the court order the first time, you court ordered visitation, the second time, the third time, you go to jail. Because why is it that the parent who's not showing up for visitation not getting penalized? So they just can continue not following the judge's order. So we go around to the I've been, you know, with this group, and we've been through a few politicians, and mostly they kind of, and we're explaining to them, you know, the problems within the court system. We recommend divorce corp, all that stuff, and we have like a good 15-20 minute conversation with the politician, and they just look at us sort of like, what? You know, and then I have to look into it. Like, either they don't, like, they've never heard of it. They act like the deer in the headlights.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's very difficult.
Everything's, you know, comes down to, you know, crazy politics, and which is why it's allowed to go on. It's I wish I knew why it was, and you know, it's just, it seems to take forever, or. And when it's so obvious that it needs to be fixed. And let me also say that, you know, not all cases are fit for mediation, and all cases aren't fit for litigation. So you have to do what's best for you at the time. You know, so an example, you know, if there's a domestic violence issue, you know, that wouldn't be good for mediation. Then you'd have to litigate a case like that. But so, you know, get educated. Know what all your options are. Takes a little bit extra time, get a couple of consultations, even if you have to pay some money, just so you know, once you start whatever you start, that you're doing it based on facts and knowing, you know, what's available out there, rather than, you know, again, because you'll have couples who will call attorneys and, well, we want to mediate. Oh, you can't mediate. That doesn't work. A lot of the old school attorneys will tell couples that. Or even worse, the two other problems are there are attorneys who hold themselves out as mediators without mediation training. Going to law school and being trained as an advocate and fighting for somebody is much different than training, acting as a neutral third party. And then the other thing is, then they'll tell them, well, if you pick a mediator, make sure they're an attorney. Well, that's not true either. You can't act as an attorney, give legal advice, or represent any of the parties if you're acting as a mediator. So, again, there's a lot of misinformation and things like that that's out there. And people
don't
know.
They don't want – yeah, it seems like, you know, the divorce lawyers, you know, don't really want happy resolutions or quick resolutions. They really want you to litigate this. I mean, is it like do we have any – are there any divorce lawyers out there that aren't like that?
Yeah, no, I know a few good ones, in fact, that I work with that either I referred them cases because mediation didn't work and vice versa. There are good attorneys out there who will try to make it as easy as possible and not bill for every little thing. And, you know, but there are attorneys out there like the one I told you about earlier or, you know, the majority who will, you know, client comes in for a consultation. And one of the things they do is get a net worth statement. And then now they know what's out there and what the money is, where the assets are. And they're already calculating what they're going to get if this case, you know, goes any further, litigation. And it's sad but true.
Yes, indeed. And I think you said something earlier in the program, which is very good advice. And that's that to go ahead and get, you know, first, second opinions, get consultations with attorneys. You don't have to hire the first attorney that you meet.
No, you don't.
In fact, never hire the first attorney. Never hire the first attorney. It's almost like if you were going to, you know, have brain surgery. So you're gonna want to see one or two or three or four brain surgeons, and then you want to pick somebody who you feel the most comfortable with. So there's no big rush. You don't have to hire the first attorney. It really is important to talk to one, two, three, or more, and to consider mediation as an option to prevent that litigation, that 10 years of litigation throwing your money down the toilet, as far as I'm concerned. I want you to go ahead and give your information out again, Jeffrey, where they can find you. And so you don't have to just practice where you live in Long Island, but you can practice remotely as well?
Yes. The only thing I can't do is, like in New York, for example, I could prepare the final agreement, stipulation of settlement, or separation agreement, and the no-fault divorce papers, and I could file it in court. I don't have the knowledge or expertise in other states. But what I can do, so for example, if a couple is in Florida, both of them, and they want to mediate with me, either via phone conference, or I prefer, like I said, with a webcam, and there's a reason for that. Online dispute resolution, then I can prepare what's something that's called a memorandum of understanding. And basically they'll take that to a local attorney in their county, where they are in their state, and they can prepare the stipulation of settlement and the no-fault divorce papers based on what they mediated and agreed to. So they're still saving money.
Right, so they're basically just hiring the lawyer at the end of the day just to make filing and so on.
Right, just do the paperwork, the court paperwork.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. I'm going to refer people to you for sure. I wanted to just say, we're almost down to the end of the program. I wanted to take a moment to explain to the listeners a little bit about parental alienation because I don't, you know, it's not a mainstream word. I think the mainstream doesn't really talk about it, but it does go on, and that's the instance where one parent is alienating the child from the other parent. So they might say, daddy doesn't love you, daddy doesn't want to see you, and in time, it really gets, you know, I mean, these are kids we're talking about, so of course, they're very influenced, you know, they're influenced by the parents. And then you have these situations where the dad has visitation, and the next thing you know, the kid that he was, you know, hugging 3 years ago, loving him to death, is now, "I hate you, Daddy."
Right, and the reason that, again, that generally happens with whoever the residential parent is, and the child who's living with the residential parent, it happens with dads against moms too, but more so the other way, like you said. And the child doesn't want mom to be mad at him or her, so they'll take mom's side. And even though deep down inside they want to see dad, or they don't believe it, they still got to live with mom. So guess what's going to happen? They want mom's approval, and whatever mom says, it goes. And I've seen, you know, again, I've seen that too. Parent alienation is a very, very ugly thing that goes on, and it's not good for the kids. And what I always hope for, and I guess I would guess it happens most of the time, but who knows, is that as the child gets older, they realize what mom or the alienating parent did. But then, you know, it could be too late by then, right? You know, you hear about the parent who's been alienated, committing suicide and things like that. So it's just horrible. It's a horrible, horrible thing. Whenever any couples who are going through divorce should always, always, always look at the best interest of the children, period. That's it. Again, you're not going to be husband and wife anymore, but you'll always be mom and dad. And just keep that in mind when you're going through the process.
Yes, and that is the best interest of the kids.
Absolutely.
That they have mom and dad in their lives. Yeah, because we do know that kids with both parents, they are more likely to go to college. They are more likely to make more money than their counterparts. They're less likely to go to jail. They're less likely to use drugs. So many benefits, so many positive benefits coming from children who are being raised by both mom and dad. Now, mom and dad don't have to necessarily be cohabitating for that to occur. Mom and dad can still have positive effects on the children's lives without being together as a couple. It just takes a strong mom and dad to keep it, and I've done it, Jeffrey, because I've been there. And I was really young, and I was smart enough to know that, what did I want for my boys? Well, I didn't want them to feel like they were fatherless, because they weren't, I didn't even like saying I'm a single mother. I never said that. I would say I'm a divorced mother sometimes. Because my kids, I'm not a single mother. My kids always had dad. And if I didn't have dad, it would have been very different for me. I needed his help. Two boys, they got baseball practice. They got, a sporting thing. They got weekends with dad. They got vacation. They went to St. Thomas. My boys did so much with daddy. You know, it was great. And at the same time, that gave me some relief. The whole thing was just so much. It wasn't perfect. Nothing is going to be perfect. But in my mind, I was doing the right thing for the kids, because they deserve to have their dad.
Absolutely.
And dad isn't. And the other thing I think parents have to realize is that you're not perfect either. So none of us are. None of us are perfect. None of us are going to be perfect parents. But that loving bond between a child and their parents, that doesn't go away, and you just keep trying, and you make mistakes. I have four children altogether, but my youngest two, I've lived and I learned, and I'm a better parent now.
Right.
I'm not afraid to admit that I've made mistakes.
Well,
I think sometimes,
you told me you were perfect and you never make mistakes.
Yeah. Now you sound like my ex.
now I have to take your picture down from my mantle. No, everybody can always learn. better, to be better, to do better things. And again, it's just so important to best interests. I always preach that, and I believe it.
Yes, and by the way, just the end of the story is that I have, you know, two adult sons, and they visit me sometimes, they visit dad sometimes, you know, but they have a relationship with both of us separately.
Sure.
And that's, you know, and that's healthy for them. It's been great for them, I think. And in the alternative, I've just seen so many dads hurting so much from not seeing their kids and just getting caught up in. And now even, I know cases of suicide. I know cases now of kids being adults, but having so much time, it being alienated, that even as adults, they're still having a hard time building a relationship with the child, with the adult.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it lasts a lifetime. The alienation can last a lifetime, and it's just not worth it.
We both agree on that for sure.
All righty. We are getting down to the bottom, to the end of the show. Jeffrey, thank you so much. And this show will be archived at blogtalkradio.com/ROARNOB, Roar Knob. So you can share it and listen to it.
And real quick, and my website again
okay.
is mymediationservices.com.
Mymediationservices.com?
Yep.
Jeffrey Bloom. Okay, perfect. And you're on Facebook, too.
Yes, I am.
Look for you there. I'm going to refer you to, because it seems like a good plan. It seems like a good try to try mediation instead of litigation.
Absolutely.
I like it a lot.
Or at least know what it is.
Definitely. Okay, so we have like 2 minutes left. Do you want to have the last word?
Pretty much what we've been talking about. Be educated, know what your decisions are. And mediation is good for post-divorce issues as well. And then another common question I might get is, well, what if we're already using attorneys? I've had couples put their attorneys on hold and come to me to resolve everything and then go back to their attorneys just to finish the paperwork. So at any point in the process, you could do mediation. And again, you both don't have to agree to anything or everything before you come to a mediator. You just have to agree to both come together and give it a try. And that's pretty much it.
Okay, perfect. Good advice. I really appreciate it. And I also would recommend that people go ahead and watch the documentary Divorce Court to get before you even consider divorce, just to get a broader view of what the heck is going on, because people walk into family court and they're like, what?
It's on Netflix, and you can find it on YouTube as well.
Yes. That's what I figured. It's on YouTube, right?
Yeah, every once in a while I'll see the full version on YouTube, but usually you'll see snippets of it on YouTube.
Okay, well, that's pretty good. Okay, we're going to end out with a little tune. Yes, you're very welcome. You're listening to Imploding the Illusion. I'm your host, Raquel Okai. We are a Wynn World Integrity News Network production. Thank you for listening in. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
Good night.